Oh, that was awesome, wasn't it, church? That was so fun. That was so fun. Thank you, all you families who came to support your loved ones today and friends as well. Well, my name is Nick Spazovsky. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm continuing our four-part series, actually, on spiritual gifts. Today is part three. We've titled it Gifted Kids. Because we really want the essence of this series to communicate that, yes, we each have spiritual gifts from the Spirit as believers, followers of Jesus, but we're also in this discovery process of what gifts might the Lord have given us. And let's go ahead and try. Let's try as kids try things and learn and fail and grow and develop, climb as a kid where you're not worrying so much about where to put every hand just right, but doing it in fear and faith of the Lord. And you know, four parts is way too few to plumb the depths of the Holy Spirit and of spiritual gifts. So our goal isn't to try to answer every question that there is and has been asked about spiritual gifts or to understand every mystery. Our goal is as your pastors that we would be spurred on as a church to live out these gifts, to begin to discover them and begin to use them, maybe to rediscover them and use them in faith, to live them out. We'd love for our church to become a community where each one of us is faithfully using our spiritual gift in God's ways and according to his purposes. And if you remember from a couple weeks ago, Pastor Kyle did a great job talking about the why and the how of spiritual gifts. All right, the why of spiritual gifts is to spur Christ-likeness in each of us and in the church. And that includes those outside the church as well, that our spiritual gifts lead to others experiencing Jesus and coming to know him, which is the first step in becoming like him. And then also the how, that we ought to use our spiritual gifts in love, that the foundation of using these gifts is never meant to be self-promoting or for self-fulfillment, but to love others in faith. They may develop deeper Christ-likeness. We have a handout of our spiritual gifts, 19, as we study them. Those are the ones we saw in Scripture. Other churches or ministries may identify them differently, a different amount. That's okay, but for our local setting, those are the ones that we see. There's a handout in the back, and in the back of the balcony. If you didn't grab it last week, there's more available this week. I encourage you to grab it. It's our summary understanding of these gifts, and there's some scriptures on there to explore as well and to go deeper if you would like. And we have our spiritual gifts class that's launching today at noon in the map room. And so we want to invite you all to consider going to that. If you signed up, great, go there. If you didn't sign up, you can still show up today. That's totally fine. Just a little logistical note. We're going to have childcare, but those who signed up so far didn't request it, so we don't have childcare today. So if you're thinking about that, sorry. we didn't have to set it up. So let's pray, though, before we jump in any further. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this opportunity to step into these spiritual gifts. I really feel like these are like superpowers that you give us, Lord, for your purposes, for your kingdom. And I pray in faith, Lord, that you would help us to discover our gifts as a church and that we would use them in faith for Christ-likeness and in love. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Amen. I was in sixth grade writing class, all right? And I'm a first-generation immigrant family, so English is a second language. I came over to the States when I was 4, so English class always made me a little nervous. And we had a writing assignment. We had to write a short story in sixth grade. And you know what? I put my heart into this writing assignment. I remember that. I thought I did really well at it. And so turned it in, was really excited, and the teacher said, you know, we're going to do something a little different today. None of us knew this. We're going to read all these writing assignments. I'm going to read them anonymously and then invite feedback from the class. And, you know, I'm a words of affirmation guy, and I thought, oh, this is going to be great. It's going to be awesome. You know, I'm going to probably hear my classmates talk about how great my story is. And, you know, when things are anonymous, as we found out in present times, there wasn't social media then, but there is now, it's not the prettiest of situations when anonymity is involved. So my classmates tore into my story. The plot was very thin, a lot of holes, they said. The characters had no development, and it was very sad. It affected me deeply. as a child. And I remember thinking thoughts like, well, that's the last time I ever write anything again. I'm not going to do that or put myself out there. And I think on like a deeper level, I even thought, well, like, I'm going to try not even get my expectations up with anything I create or put together, which is kind of sad, like, for an 11-year-old to, like, you know, think. So why am I sharing this story with you as it relates to spiritual gifts? I think the Lord brought that story to mind the past couple of weeks because I wonder for most of us if we've tried to use spiritual gifts or we've thought we've had certain ones and then others maybe have communicated, I don't know if you do. Or maybe we thought, I tried that, it didn't go well, not going to try that again. I'm going to put myself out there again. And so I wonder, how much of our baggage are we bringing into even this discussion and into this room today? And I just want to just challenge you all with that. Maybe you're thinking, I don't think I've got any of these gifts. So why are we bothering talking about it? Wonder if I could challenge you today to, with kind of a fresh start or fresh eyes, to have a clean slate in faith and ask the Lord to speak to you this day and kind of give you fresh eyes to see what gifts you may have. Because his word has promised that he's given gifts to each of us. We talked about the past couple weeks. Each of us have been given gifts to glorify and build up the church for the glory of Christ. And, you know, here I am many years later, 20-some odd years later, as a pastor, I have to use words a lot. I have to write things and present things. And somehow, in God's grace and in his goodness, he's led me to this place. And I think, I wonder if he can continue to work a beautiful story of redemption in each of our lives. We're going to go through six of the speaking gifts today. We divided it up into serving and speaking gifts. We went through seven serving gifts last week. We're going to go through six speaking gifts today, and then six more next week. Pastor Jay is going to talk about that, so come on back. I'm really looking forward to hearing from him on the last gifts we have. But the six we've got today, the first one, teaching, the gift of teaching. All right, you see this listed in 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians 4, and this is a gift that is a special ability to instruct, explain or expose biblical truth in such a way as to cause believers to understand and contend with God's revelation. So the central thrust is to clarify the truth of Scripture. This is someone who helps clarify the truth of Scripture. I didn't grow up in the church. I came to faith as a 17-year-old in Solid Rock Bible Church in Plymouth. And I remember one of the associate pastors there, anytime he would speak, I would kind of, you know, lean forward and I would get just tremendous things out of the things he shared. I remember, you know, talks he gave on the armor of God, on Barabbas on Palm Sunday. They still stick with me, like 20 years later. Someone that was blessed by their spiritual gift of teaching. Now, doesn't have to be a pastor. It could be anyone with this gift. Someone, you know, who, you know, you read something in Scripture and you just can't help but to share it with others, those around you, whether they want to hear it or not sometimes. But usually, when you do hear from them, it's helpful, it's insightful, it's not something you would have seen on your own. Now, you could say this with all of us, but imagine if we didn't have this gift in the church, right? Imagine if we didn't have the gift of teaching, how much we would be robbed, right? And that's another way to turn on its head this thought of, yeah, let's discover our gifts because we need them. We need them from one another. Might you have the spiritual gift of teaching? Let's ask ourselves that question. Exhortation. Exhortation is next. And you see this one listed in Romans 12. The gift of exhortation is a special ability to urge people to action in terms of applying biblical truth, to encourage people generally with biblical truth, or to comfort people through the application of biblical truth to their needs. So the central thrust of this one is to encourage others to apply biblical truth. For many people in the early church, life was pretty grim. It was like very, very challenging. There was a ton of opposition from the Jewish religion. It was a ton of opposition from Rome and persecution and violence and beatings and even murders. So there was a continual need for the early church to be exhorted to continue on, to endure in the faith. And I think we still see this need throughout our times. And so think about people who encourage you to keep going. who you go to when you're like really struggling spiritually. These people are like the great coaches in the faith, those who encourage us to keep going, to not give up, to apply biblical truth, to help us endure and persevere when things get hard or challenging. I had a friend once who, when my wife and I were going through some marriage struggles, just reminded me of the vows I took to love my wife through the ups and downs of life and in marriage. And that was a challenge and a reminder and exhortation that helped me at the time. Might you have the gift of exhortation? Apostleship. Apostleship is our next one, the gift of apostleship. You see this one listed in 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians 4. A person with this gifting is usually recognized by a local church and released to a new pioneering work. This gift can be experienced within one's own culture or potentially a cross-cultural setting. The gift of apostleship refers to a special ability to move with authority from God to create new ministry opportunities, go into places where the gospel is not preached, develop leaders, and develop support networks for ministry. So the central thrust of this one is creating new ministry, creating new ministry. Joel last week talked about Titus 1 in terms of the possibility of the gift of ministration being present there. That verse also came to mind for apostleship, because that one is Paul instructing Titus to appoint leaders in the new places where the church has been planted. And so you see the gift of apostleship at work there, Titus going out and spurring new works and helping to bring order to those new works as well. I've got another friend who's a starter, loves to start things, groups, ministries, even went on a church plant. Gets a little restless when things have been going for a little while and are a little stable. And so I wonder if that's the gift of apostleship at work. These are people who see things and possibilities usually well before others do. And then they begin to rally people to those possibilities. That doesn't have to be a church plant or something huge like that. It could be starting a new prayer gathering for your home group, because you're sensing the Spirit moving, or initiating something like even swapping your M cards or driver's licenses because you feel the need for the group to spend more time together outside of the group. It's basically organizing any sort of new practice that you see in Scripture, gift of apostleship in action. Might you have the gift of apostleship? All right, our next one is leadership. Leadership. You see this one listed in Romans 12. The gift of leadership is a special ability that God gives certain members of the body of Christ to influence people to lead them toward the goal or purpose with a particular emphasis on a capacity to make decisions and keep the group voluntarily and harmoniously working together for the glory of God. The central thrust of this one is influencing others toward vision. To influence others, to cause them to follow a godly course of action is a gift of leadership in practice. I also kind of see these people as like the motor oil in an engine in groups, right? They help a group from seizing up and keep them going in a direction, because, you know, we're people. We got our issues and problems. We rub each other the wrong ways, and I think leadership sees those things and begins helping and identifying and helping people work well together. Last summer, a couple people with, I believe, leadership gift on display said, hey, why don't we come up with a way to make the building next door to this one, the Freeze House, a place where students just love to be, college students, our youth home group. So they put a proposal together, and people got to work. And that place is such a fun and vibrant place to be. That it's just a church on display, in large part due to the leadership gift moving in our setting. Might you have the leadership gift? Okay, our last one for today. Sorry, two more. Shepherding, the spiritual gift of shepherding. Ephesians 4, you see this one listed. The shepherding gift is a special ability to exercise concern and care for members of a group so as to encourage them in their growth in Christ, which involves modeling maturity, protecting others from error, and disseminating truth and providing guidance. The central thrust of this one is the spiritual formation of disciples of Jesus. These are people who like just deeply care for others, okay? Usually they're great at listening. They help their brothers and sisters feel seen, heard, and loved. You might have people come into mind. These are the people you go to when you're hurting, right? Or when you've gone through a tragedy or a trauma, because you know they'll care for you. And they point you to Jesus as the ultimate shepherd and caregiver. I'd encourage those of you who think you might have this gift and who are a little more mature in the faith, maybe our college juniors and seniors and beyond, to take those who are younger and just do life with them. Do life with them and shepherd them in the course of life as things come up and difficulties come up, to talk about them as you're getting groceries together or what have you, and to shepherd over the course of doing life. Such a huge blessing. Another example came to mind when our building project. So this building, not many of you might know the history here. Was just an old sorority house. This was a parking lot, and in 2004, we went before the city and put a plan, and the planning commission tabled us a number of years. There was a lot of kind of opposition from some of the neighbors, and they ended up voting down our project in November of 2004. And it was something that we had prayed for as a church so much, and I had prayed for personally. And I remember just feeling so sad and discouraged and disappointed. And I'll never forget our worship leader the following Sunday shepherding the whole church and introducing, "Let's sing Blessed Be Your Name. I know we're going through a lot as a church, but the Lord, He gives and He takes away." And when we sung that song, man, something in my heart just deepened. Like my faith just deepened that morning, as we were being shepherded through a difficulty as the church. We did end up building here. We ended up suing the city, and they settled us outside of court because of, some laws that we were able to use. So thankful for that. Praise the Lord. Well, beside the point of what we're talking about today. What happened, Nick? Okay, last gift we're going to talk about today. The spiritual gift of evangelism, and you see this one listed in Ephesians 4 as well. Evangelism is a special ability to communicate and to help others communicate the gospel message in relevant ways to unbelievers such that they respond by receiving it and taking initial steps in Christian discipleship. The central thrust of this one is introducing others to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Leslie Flynn writes this, "As the word gospel comes from two Greek words, well or good, and announcement. Thus the gospel is a beneficial announcement or good news. The gift of evangelism involves proclaiming the good news with usual power." And I like the way he put that. It kind of caught my attention. With usual power. So this is someone who people, they just love being around those who don't know Jesus yet. And they just can't help but to get into those spiritual conversations in everyday settings. And the yet for them is implied, right? They don't even have to say it. I think they'll come to faith eventually. We just got to, keep loving them and reaching out to them and sharing the gospel with them. They're hopeful of the salvation of everyone around them, which is so beautiful. When they walk through the diag or a dining hall or a workplace, they think about how to reach the lost in those places and proclaim the gospel. Very naturally get into spiritual conversations, usually prolific inviters and includers, and inspire others to step out and do the same. Our missional living cohort was started this year as people with the evangelism gift involved, which I love. Now, with all of these gifts, I want to just say, yes, people are given gifts, but we're all meant to be included in these kinds of activities. Just because you don't have the spiritual gift of evangelism doesn't mean you're not called to also participate in evangelism as well. So I want to encourage you all to consider, yes, I want to obey scriptures that call me to these things, but I also want to be teamed up with those who are gifted in these areas, because they just tend to go better and be more fun and more enjoyable and more fruitful when the gifts are involved. So let's encourage others. If you see these things in others, let them know, hey, I was listening to that message and you came to mind. You pretty clearly have the spiritual gift of shepherding. Would you accept that encouragement or consider that? Whatever gift came to mind, whatever person or face came to mind, would you share that with them this week? Share them with them today. That's super encouraging for people to hear. And it helps us in identifying our gifts. It's usually a little easier to see others than ourselves, right? Let me wrap up with a couple of things. The first is, I just want to share the gospel with you all again clearly. Because everything that we do is centered, the foundation is the gospel, including spiritual gifts. The good news, the good announcement is that Jesus died for each and every single one of us, for your sins on the cross, was buried, and rose again 3 days later. God the Father thankfully accepted his sacrifice in full satisfaction of our guilt. And when you reach out to Jesus as your Lord and Savior in faith, God declares you righteous. Not through anything that you have done, not through your own merit, but through the merit of the blood of Jesus Christ. No longer exposed to the penalty of the law, you become a child of God. You are forgiven. You are clean. And you are whole. And you are gifted. Because you have the Holy Spirit, and each of us are given spiritual gifts at that moment. Maybe you've heard these gifts last week, today, or maybe this might happen next week when you hear them. And I don't know what you're thinking. Maybe you're thinking, I kind of wish I had that one. And you're comparing a little bit. You know, I think I can do that. Or maybe you're just feeling just tired. Like just tired of doing it all. Whether it's life or family or ministry or difficulties. And maybe you feel alone and drained. I think that happens when we try to do more than we should. And we're not being teamed up with one another and allowing the gifts to help and work well together. I do that all the time. I'm very guilty of that. I was reading my time with the Lord about a week and a half ago. I was feeling some of these things. And I came across a passage in Luke. It's where Jesus calls the early disciples. And in this one, this particular rendition, Jesus is asking the disciples, because they've been fishing all night and they haven't caught anything, and they're exhausted. And so he says, why don't you try casting your nets on that side of the boat? And Peter, in his beautiful way, says, but we've been doing it all night, Jesus, and we haven't caught anything. And Jesus says, why don't you go ahead and try anyway? And so they do. And they catch this amazing haul of fish. And Peter says, I'm not worthy. I'm a sinner. I'm not worthy. He falls to his knees. Scripture says, I'm not worthy of you, Jesus. And Jesus says to him, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching people. Then they brought the boats to land, left everything, and followed him. And this story in this moment, and this doesn't happen every time I read scripture, but in this moment, the Lord really struck me again with this, because I remember being a college freshman, and hearing this passage, or one similar to this, spoke on and preached on in this church, and feeling a call from the Lord to be a fisher of people. I think that's all of our call as disciples of Jesus, because people are what matters. And yet, as you go through life, no matter how long you've been following Jesus or how short, I think we can live out some of that story, right? I'm like, I've been doing this for so long, Lord, or I've been trying and it's not working. I'm exhausted. And he says, will you do it anyway? Will you try one more time to cast your nets over the side of the boat? Will you trust me in faith? Will you do it one more time? Will you? Will you discover your gifts? Will you use them in faith for his church, for his kingdom, for his purposes, to bring Christ's likeness to our local body and those around us in love? You see, in fishing, you know, maybe someone is great at mending nets. Maybe someone's really good at casting the net. Or maybe someone's great at steering the boat. Or someone's great at hauling it back in. You see, when we're all working together, though, we're all using those gifts that God has given each of us, then we see that beautiful haul come in, right? Do we not? Let's do it, church. Let's do it together. Let's discover those gifts. Let's use them for his kingdom purposes. Let's pray. Jesus, you are good, and you have blessed us with so many gifts. Help us to see them, Lord. Give us eyes to see in faith and to use them in faith as well. Help us not to do things on our own, Lord. That leads down a path of self-reliance and exhaustion. I don't want to be that, church. I want to be that person. Help us to be your disciples who are fishing together for people, for the people you've called us to love, to serve, who you brought to our lives. We love you. We lift up these things. In your name, amen. Amen.